Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
We have a special guest today, Father John Ricardo. Father John's one of those new breed of priests that are really bringing a breath of fresh air into the life of the Catholic Church today. Father John, welcome.
Thanks, Ralph. Good to be with you.
Father John also has a daily radio program. He's on Catholic radio quite a bit, and his programs can be accessed at avemariaradio.net. One day I was driving home from the airport, and I heard Father John on the radio talking about forgiveness, and I thought, wow, that is some really good stuff. You know, Father John's really sharing with some tremendous insight about forgiveness, and we've got to get more people to hear that. So I invited Father John to be with us today. And Father John, would you mind just kind of kicking off a little discussion about forgiveness and just kind of what's on your heart about that area?
Yeah, you know, I think it's such a pressing topic because if there's something more difficult in life to do than forgive, I'm not quite sure what it is. And yet everything's at stake. Because every time we pray the Our Father, we say, Lord, forgive us as we forgive those who sin or trespass against us. So in essence, we're telling God, treat me and forgive me the way I'm forgiven, you know, brother X or sister X, whoever out there who, and it's not just the person who's mildly offended me. It's in particular the person who's really wounded me. And some of us, in all honesty, probably shouldn't pray the Our Father. In fact, I know there was a Swiss mystic who was a huge influence on Pope John Paul II who herself stopped praying the Lord's Prayer just because she knew she couldn't with integrity pray that word.
Well,
so she just stopped praying it.
Well, it is a bold prayer, isn't it? Forgive me as I forgive others. You're saying, Lord, do unto me as I do unto others.
Right. Yep. So. And again, everything is at stake. I mean, if I don't forgive, then I'm not going to get forgiven. Everything. My salvation is at stake here. I think the challenge for folks, I know for me too, you know, oftentimes is just trying to remember, what does it mean to forgive somebody? And then two, what's the motive behind doing this? I mean, how is it that this really happens? Oftentimes I think we've been ingrained with forgive and forget or something to that effect, but that's just ridiculous. I mean, you don't forget. Yeah. I don't forget anything really that's happened to me.
You got a good memory, huh?
I got a great memory. I can't remember this morning, but I have a pretty good memory. I got a great memory for wounds. And I think that causes a lot of people confusion. So they feel like I haven't forgiven somebody because either I haven't forgotten what happened to me or my feelings for you haven't changed. But neither one of those really mean anything. You know, in fact, forgiveness is simply it's much like love. It's an act of my will. So my feelings are irrelevant, you know. And when I remember what it is that someone's done to me, it's just another opportunity for me to exercise my will and to forgive somebody. Mm-hmm. So I think just helping people understand what it means to forgive. And, you know, so if you got negative feelings out there for somebody who's wounded you, I don't think that should lead you to think that you haven't really forgiven. Mm-hmm. You might have. I mean, the way you know you've forgiven is that I don't wish vengeance upon you. I really do want the good for you. I don't want you to somehow suffer for what you've made me feel. And I don't even want you to go through what I've gone through. All I want is the good for you. Mm-hmm. So I think it's helpful to just kind of set the parameters to what it means to forgive. The best story, you know, at least I think, the greatest passage where Jesus lays this out is in Matthew 18, where it's the parable of the unforgiving servant. This is one of those passages which in the new lectionary, which we hear at Mass, they just butcher. You know, no offense to the people who did this, but
forgiven them for that?
I've forgiven them, absolutely, you know? I remember it constantly, especially every time I hear it. It's one of those texts that you have to say what Jesus just said was a little bit different than what you just heard. Because, it begins with Peter coming to the Lord saying, how often should I forgive my brother? Many as seven times. and Jesus' answer that we know so well, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And then he tells the story of these two people who owe this debt. And in the new translation, it says one owed a huge amount, but he didn't owe a huge amount. That's not the word Jesus used. He owes 10,000 talents. Now, you know, that doesn't help me very much. What's a talent, for crying out loud? But 10,000 talents is the largest conceivable amount you could come up with.
Hmm.
So Jesus isn't just pulling a number out of the air. He's saying that there's this one debtor who stands for us, huh? Who owes an amount we could never repay, ever. And so he goes to the king and he begs the king, have mercy on me and I will repay you. But he can't repay him. That's the whole point of 10,000 talents. Whole provinces, in when they were taxed at the time of Jesus, owed a 50th of that amount. A province a 50th of that amount.
Yeah.
So it's this like man saying, owes 10,000 talents.
It's like it's saying he owed billions or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's compared with or contrasted with this other fellow servant who owes the man who owes the 10,000 talents 100 denarii. Well, that doesn't help us either. But a denarius is the daily wage for mm-hmm. a laborer. So you got this guy who owes, so you're the guy who owes 100 denarii. You owe me 100 days' pay. You're the king. I owe you 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents equals 100 million denarii.
Wow.
So I owe you 100 million days' wages. You owe me 3 months' pay. And I go to you and I beg you, be merciful, and I will repay you. But that's absurd. I can't repay you. But in your mercy, you do just that. And that's what the Lord does. He had pity on me and wiped out all of my offenses. But then as Jesus goes on to tell the parable, then I run into you as I leave the king's court. And you do the exact same thing to me. You say the exact same words, be patient with me and I will repay you. But now you really could repay me. And I don't forgive you. And then the other servants find out about this and say, uh-oh, and they tell the king. And the king calls me in and says, you wicked servant.
That's pretty strong, isn't it?
I repaid you your whole debt. How much more should you have been merciful to your fellow servant? And then he goes on to say, so will my heavenly Father do to each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Not from your feelings. That's not what he means. From your heart. That means from the seat of decision-making, that I really choose to forgive you, that I will you to be forgiven. And that's a tough word, you know? I mean, who's not listening? Who's got someone in their lives who they're wrestling with some bitterness or some resentment or some forgiveness? I mean, every day we offend each other. And it could be in a marriage, could be in a parent-child relationship, could be a friendship that's gone sour, well, someone at work. This is a reality, and it's a challenge. I think for me, anyway, the key is, you know, Pope John Paul in his letter on the Holy Spirit, he talks about how he's commenting on Jesus' words that the Holy Spirit will convince regarding sin. He talks about how the Holy Spirit helps us understand every sin in light of the cross, so that my sins aren't just offenses against some law. They're really an offense against the one who is love. And so the Holy Spirit helps me to just kind of fix my eyes upon the crucifix and to realize all that God has done for me, that I, who deserve nothing, have been given not just a second chance or a third chance, but a 10,000th chance. And to see that, to know that in the cross, then I just got to let that flow through me. So forgiveness isn't a matter of clenching my fists together and just mustering up enough strength to let this go. No, forgiveness comes from realizing all that he has done for me and then just letting it flow through me.
Well, that I've been forgiven helps me forgive.
Yeah.
Done.
Whereas if I don't look at the crucifix, if I don't grasp all that I've been forgiven, then I'm going to make mountains out of what you've done to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just going to be obsessed with what you've done for me. But the moment I really, through the light of the Holy Spirit, understand I should be the one on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've, you know, not only have I received forgiveness, but he calls me son. Mm-hmm. He calls me friend. I mean, he loves me. He doesn't just tolerate me. He loves me.
Yeah.
Despite all that I have done, then how do I not want that to flow through me onto others? And that's the key, I think.
Yeah. And the more that we participate in our personal relationship with Christ, the more we share his mind and heart, the more our heart becomes a heart of forgiveness, a heart of mercy, a heart of love. And sometimes even the willed forgiveness turns into actually feelings of love, for the person we forgive, right. I mean, sometimes the feelings follow, the decision, and, whether they do or not is not the most important issue, but sometimes we actually feel God's love, for the person who's offended us, and our heart is transformed by perceiving God's love for this person, and finds ourselves free to love.
That's true.
This has really surprised me, is when Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you, love your enemies. When I start praying for somebody who really is persecuting me or doesn't like me or, said bad things about me, whatever, I'm surprised at the way in which I start feeling God's love for them, start sensing God's love for them. And how can I not love them if God loves them? How can I be a son of God and not, not think about this person like God thinks about them and not want for them the good that you were talking about that God wants for them? And so one practical thing I really found helpful was actually starting to pray for people who may be perceived as enemies or persecutors or whatever. And I don't have too many, but,
you might have more than you think.
I might, at least they haven't made their presence known, right? And just kind of just delighting in discovering that perceiving God's love for them is kind of like healing me and freeing me and making me more like a son of my father,
The image that I find most helpful in Mass every day, and I encourage people all the time with this in penances, but when the offertory is brought forward, if you can picture that the bread and the wine are, it's my wife or my husband or my son or my mom or my coworker, whoever it is that I'm really wrestling with. And I'm going to bring them in my mind. I'm just going to carry them to the altar and I'm going to give them to the Lord. I'm going to place them on the altar and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do with them extraordinary things, just like we ask the Holy Spirit to do with extraordinary things with the bread and the wine. That can be a huge help, because then you're doing exactly what you say. Then my heart's becoming one with the Lord's heart, and I'm finding myself loving these people.
Yeah,
saying, okay, Lord, what I want for the vengeance I want on them is I want them to know you.
Yeah,
I want them to know your love. I want them to know, for the wound that's in them that causes them to lash out. I want that to be healed, just like the wound that's in me that can cause me to lash out. The Lord's challenging word to me is, the measure with which you measure is how I'm going to measure out to you. And would that when I die and we all die, that the Lord says, Ralph, you were just way too merciful. John, you're just too carefree with your forgiveness. You talk about that line of the Lord on the cross. One of the saints talks about, Jesus on the cross isn't simply forgiving. He's making excuses for the people. They don't know what they're doing, Father. And oftentimes, we're not only not forgiving, I'm unwilling to make an excuse. I go to confession and I got all these mitigating circumstances, but man, you come to confession to me and
Something you said, I also find happening when I pray for people who, whatever, for whatever reason, don't like me or whatever, I do find myself feeling like being able to perceive sometimes their woundedness, and their fear or their insecurity or whatever, whatever it is that's contributing to how they're responding in a particular situation. And I do find myself delighting in wanting God's healing for them, wanting them to know the peace of Christ, wanting them to know the love of Christ, wanting to know their security as sons and daughters of God, wanting them to know that it's okay, and not being bound in that fear or jealousy or hatred or, whatever it is that's kind of causing their life to be miserable. I mean, it's miserable to not treat people right. It's living in misery. And so you just want them not to live in misery anymore. You want them to be free of that, and it's just, and it makes it easier for me, even if there's continued, negative behavior, towards me or something like that. It makes it much easier to bear, you pay less attention to that and more to wanting them to be free, Right. It's just, I don't know. I just find it kind of amazing. It's been a real revelation for me. I didn't always do that, but praying for praying for those who persecute you, praying for those who hurt you. I'm just finding it kind of really, really doing wonders in my own heart.
You know, I thought the juxtaposition in the Passion of the Christ, the way they kind of wove in some scenes from the Gospels into the Passion, you know, and so they show that scene of Jesus saying those words, you know, pray for those who persecute you, bless those who curse you, as he's getting scourged. And the contrast between that was so powerful. I mean, for all of us, you know, but to see him putting into practice what it is that he said, you know, that he's not just a great teacher, he's gone before us and done all this. That was very helpful for me to see. I can think of a situation in my own life where, you know, you realize that your own lack of forgiveness, the one that imprisons is yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in college and just about to get out of college, my life took a drastic change, and there were a couple of things that really prompted that. And one of them was a real act of injustice. And I remember just being filled with rage for the person who had done this. And we were in close proximity. So I was constantly being reminded of what the other person had done. And for 3, 4, 5 days, I mean, I was just like a volcano inside about to erupt. And I think the person was probably concerned for their life in all seriousness, you know? I remember going to this person one time and just saying, you know what, there's a part of me that would like to hate you for the rest of my life, but I'm dying. I don't understand this. You wronged me and I'm dying.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was the Lord just
you
working
hurt me
within
and now
me.
I'm hurting myself.
Yeah. I'm just being so imprisoned by my own unwillingness. Yeah. I've met two people, one who survived Auschwitz, played golf with him, and then Immaculée, you know, this wondrous woman who's got this story of forgiveness from the Rwandan genocide. And the thing that's so striking, I think, in both of them, and having met them, was I don't care what you do to me. This is like them saying, I don't care what you do to me, you can't make me hate. You just don't have that kind of power.
Yeah.
You can take everything away from me. You can kill my family. You can imprison me. You can torture me. You can't make me hate. Mm-hmm. And to see somebody who's done that, who's forgiven, is so freeing.
Yeah.
And I think the people who hear folks like that talk, they just look and go, oh, I would love to be able to be free like that.
Yeah.
So the consequences of not forgiving is I'm in prison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Father John, you know, there's probably some people right now who are saying, you know, that's true, but does he really know what happened to me? Does he really know what hurt me? You know, and, or that's true. And I'd really like to respond, but I wonder if you could maybe just say a few words directly to those who are with us today and maybe say a prayer.
I think, you know, the two words that are really worth hearing is, this sounds like a hard word. Okay. But no matter what anybody has done to me, it's trivial in what it is that God has forgiven. Mm-hmm. It's trivial. It doesn't mean I wasn't really wronged. It doesn't mean, I mean, I may have issues of abuse that someone's inflicted on me. I may have betrayal. It could be something really grievous. And the Lord knows that, and you know that, I know that. In comparison to the cross and to what it is that God has forgiven, it is trivial. And I think that's just a truth, which again, it's a harsh truth, but it's got to sink in. So that's the Holy Spirit just convincing us of sin and of the reality of what it is that God has done for us. I think the other word is particularly to the men who are listening and thinking, you know what, that's just not a manly thing to do. I mean, a strong man doesn't forgive, but a real man does forgive. It doesn't take a strong man to kill his enemy. It doesn't take a strong man to enact vengeance. It doesn't take a strong man to slander someone who's done wrong. A strong man, a real man, doesn't do those things, doesn't kill his enemy. A strong man wins his enemy. And that's not idealistic, because Jesus did that. That's precisely what he did. I mean, Romans tells us that while we were still God's enemies, he made us to be his friends by his passion and his resurrection. So that's a manly thing to do, is to forgive. And in fact, most men can't do it because they don't have the strength of the Lord within them.
Yeah. Could you say a real short prayer asking God to give grace to those who just heard that word?
Indeed. Father, we just ask that these words would sink in, that they would take root within our hearts, that your mercy would be flowing through us so that others would know through us your great love for each of them.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Father John, thanks so much for being with us today. And great truth, great freeing truth. Until next week, this is Ralph Martin and Father John Ricardo wishing you the very best, wishing you the grace to accept the love and mercy of Christ for yourself and extend it to others and walk free from the prison of unforgiveness.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.